Redline.
A string of deadly attacks in different parts of the vast Islamic world, from Bangladesh to Iraq and Saudi Arabia, revealed that Daesh has a new global strategy for launching an all-out war on civilians. This is what we are going to discuss in our second section, Between the Lines, analyzing the most thought-provoking publications of the week. An article titled, Muslims Worldwide Come to Grips with the Bloody Ramadan, carried by the Associated Press and written by Zaina Karam and Sarah Al-Deeb, the authors begin writing that, as Muslims around the world celebrate the end of Ramadan, many are struggling to comprehend a wave of attacks that killed 350 people across several continents during the holy month, and made urgent the question of what drives the militants to ever more spectacular violence against civilians. They continue by reminding the reader that, weeks before Ramadan, IS called for its supporters to strike wherever possible. In a digital age where statements on the internet quickly proliferate, those calls appear to have found resonance among some circles of disenchanted Muslim youth around the globe. In trying to make sense of the recent attacks, Karam and Al-Deeb quote Mohammed Balut, a writer for Lebanese daily As-Safir, as analyzing that, the attacks in Jordan, Turkey, and Saudi Arabia aim to send a direct warning to the Sunni-led nations that the undeclared truce with them may collapse if they don't revise their strategies towards IS and halt their support for the war on the group.
Andrew, this is not the only one thought-provoking publication of the subject which we had this week, because this is really a new phenomenon, this topic of the global jihad, Jihad International, or you may call it Month of Jihad. It's Ramadan 2016. Obviously, Daesh, which is suffering military defeats in Syria and Iraq, is trying to revert to less expensive but spectacular guerrilla attacks worldwide. It is calling on its supporters to launch assaults wherever it is possible. And a part of groups, there's a new strategy which is called Lonely Wolf. As you know, when the individuals are doing that. So it means that for some time, probably we'll see some paradox situation. Then the more military defeats of Daesh we will have in Syria and Iraq, the less secure the world would be, because they are trying to export that terrorism to vast parts of the world. And you were mentioning terrorist acts in Bangladesh, in Iraq. But now the reality is such that when you switch on TV in the morning, you can wake up to the news that another devastating terrorist act happened somewhere, and you can imagine some totally unexpected countries can be a subject of those attacks. So this should be handled, this should be addressed, and that requires cooperation of leading responsible powers. That's what this week probably you've seen the statement made by Russian foreign minister, which unfortunately was bypassed by world media, which said that we should abandon that double standards in dividing terrorists on good terrorists and bad terrorists, and stand together to raise together to this challenge.
Yes, this has been the Russian mantra, but I just wonder, will the West ever listen? So we're going to begin our discussion by speaking to our in-studio guest, and that's Mr. Gleb Ivashintsov. He's a member of the Russia International Affairs Council and Russia's former ambassador to Myanmar and South Korea. Hello, Mr. Ivashintsev.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, kind of when we're discussing this, you know, bloody Ramadan, kind of makes me think about what we spoke about earlier about NATO, that, you know, NATO focuses on Russia, but what's NATO doing about terrorism? What's NATO doing about the migrant crisis? What's NATO doing about stopping extremism? What's your take?
I think we should all concentrate on fighting terrorism, because it is the major security threat, a global security threat. And you see, when NATO just accuses Russia of so many aggressive designs, they somehow miss that Russia shares the United States' eagerness to fight global terror, control nuclear threats, and confront other urgent challenges to global security. The present Daesh terrorist activity reason is very simple. They have been losing ground, as Sergei said, but they want to show that their killing capacity endures.
That's what I'm saying.
The killing capacity endures. And it is very characteristic that all those terrorist acts took place during Ramadan. And it is interesting that Daesh claimed the months to be particularly propitious for killing enemies of Islam. A spokesman for the Islamic State said in late May that jihadis should make it, with God's permission, a month of pain for infidels everywhere. But it is not enemies of Islam which are killed. It is Muslims which are killed in Baghdad, Istanbul, Dhaka, Medina, and other places. And it shows that we all should join our efforts to fight, to stop those killing, to fight terrorism by the Daesh.
Mr. Washington, we should join our efforts, as you said. But look at Syria. President Putin many times addressed President Obama. Let us join hands in fighting them. And again, we don't see any results. Why is that? Because, again, what I was trying to emphasize, that there's an attempt on the part of President Obama, unfortunately, to fight one terrorist and protect other terrorists. So it's a deadlock, then.
Therefore, I think we should have better understanding of the events and better explanation of the nature of the events.
Yes, I mean, we definitely do. And right now, we actually have a regional expert on the line to discuss this with us, and that's Mr. Ali Risk. He's independent Middle Eastern expert based in Beirut. Hello, Mr. Risk. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. You know, when we look at this, you know, as some people have called it, a very bloody Ramadan, unfortunately, I mean, not only are we sorrowed, but we also notice that, I mean, this wide geographical dispersal here. And, you know, before we began, you know, my co-anchor, Sergey, he said, you know, we can just turn on the TV and it seems like almost every other day a new terrorist attack is happening in another country. I mean, so how does this reflect Daesh's changing strategy? What's your comments on this?
Well, I think that you have two aspects. The first one is that in Ramadan, usually Daesh, you know, believes the month of Ramadan to be a month whereby they should expand their attacks. That usually happens in Ramadan. Of course, this Ramadan has been unique, however, in the geographical scope and even in the brutality of the attacks, as we saw in Iraq, in Baghdad. It was unprecedented in its brutality. I think one major reason, of course, is the fact that Daesh has lost territory. If you look at, for example, the big defeat it suffered in Fallujah, which in my view is one of the, in addition to Ramadan, the defeat in Fallujah is one of the main reasons why it launched that attack in Baghdad and why it expanded its attacks in general. I think you also have another aspect. As the years go on, as Daesh remains alive, the more capable it is of attracting recruits on social media, etc., you know, reaching places like Bangladesh. So, as I said, the more it stays alive, the more it has the potential to expand its geographical scope of operations. So I would say there's more than one factor. You have the fact that it's Ramadan, you have the fact that Daesh is losing geographically, it's losing its so-called caliphate, and you also have the fact that it has more reach, it's been able to reach a lot of sympathizers. All these factors combined, I think, are what have contributed to the latest wave of violence.
Okay, yeah, you know, you mentioned, you know, this wave of violence in Bangladesh as well, and right now we have another guest in the line. I'd like you to stay with us, though, Mr. Risk, that we're going to introduce to the conversation to kind of make it more exciting, and that's Mr. Ahmed Rajiv. He's a Dhaka-based political analyst and founder of GPoet.com. Hello, Ahmed. How are you today?
Hello, Andrew. I'm fine. Thank you so much for inviting me into your show.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm glad to have you. You know, we're speaking with Mr. Rajiv right now, and he was speaking about some of these terrorist attacks and happening during Ramadan. And I wanted to ask you, Ahmed, about the terrorist attack in Saudi Arabia, particularly the one that attempted to target believers at the Prophet's Mosque in Medina. Why do you think they'd want to do something like that? I mean, that's just totally, totally outrageous.
Yeah, that's very true. But the thing is, you know, in the month of Ramadan, all Islamists, especially in the whole world, all Islamic people actually, they do prayers and they do fasting and all these things. So in that moment when they are spiritually connected, so it is very much a strong propagation by the IS to infuriate the sentiment of the Muslims by attacking in many, many other places. Like, you know, you have seen in Dhaka, in Saudi Arabia, in Orlando, and Europe as well. So earlier this year, we saw actually that China and Saudi Arabia signed several deals, which ultimately infuriated the Western policymakers. We all know that Saudi is a Western ally in fighting terrorism, but the internal power struggle goes on. were sympathizers in Saudi monarchy, which has a connection with Israel and other state-run terrorist forces. So it has also a clear message to the Saudi establishment that harboring China will have a bloody consequences.
Okay, yeah, I have to say, I'm not sure many people have thought about it from that angle. So I'd like to go back to Mr. Ali Risk, and I want to ask you if you think that Daesh has a clear-cut geopolitical strategy here. I mean, what was it trying to aim at when it attacked Saudi Arabia, as well as some of the other countries, like when it had an attempted attack, you know, in Malaysia, small-scale attack, and especially in Bangladesh? What were they trying to achieve, do you think?
Well, I'm not sure that there was any specific, geostrategic plan behind it. I'm not sure if that's the way Daesh operates. I think the aim was just to inflict as much violence as possible and to show that Daesh is still capable of wreaking havoc. Now, the attacks in Saudi Arabia are somewhat, unique. Why? Because, Saudi Arabia, Medina, the holy sites are considered to be very something special for Daesh, for the Wahhabist ideology. And it's not the first time that you have extremists attacking this area. It happened before as well. They consider those, the cities, the holy sites in Saudi Arabia to be their main prize. So again, we go back to the fact that, Daesh is trying to show that it's still alive, it's still capable of, making achievements, of achieving something really symbolic. That, I think, was the main reason, behind the attacks in Saudi Arabia. Now, as for the other attacks, if you look at Bangladesh or Malaysia, etc., I think that's just basically a way to show that they can still do something, they can still wreak havoc. But the attacks in Saudi Arabia, yes, I think they do have some other special separate aim, which is to stir up the feelings, to prove to the followers that we're here, we can still, take control of these holy sites. We're going to try and take control of these holy sites, which, as I said, have a special place in the ideology of these groups.
Okay, well, I want to thank you very much, Mr. Risk, for that. And also, Ahmed, I want to thank you for participating in our program. But unfortunately, we've run all out of time for this discussion. And wrapping it up with my co-anchor, Sergey, it looks like, this is very, very sad, everything that happened. I mean, not only targeting people in general, terrorism is always horrible, but during the holy month of Ramadan and then trying to attack the Prophet's mosque, it seems like Daesh has totally gotten out of control. And I think that maybe this might be a tipping point where they lose some of their support they might have had among some people.
This is tipping point, this is devastating, and this is wake-up call to leading powers to join hands and to abandon double standard approach on terrorism.
Yes, I hope they'll see the writing on the wall and realize that it's long overdue. So we're going to thank all of our guests for participating today, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Gleby Voshchensov. He is a member of the Russian International Affairs Council and Russia's former ambassador to Myanmar and South Korea, Mr. Ali Risk, an independent Middle East expert based in Beirut, and Mr. Ahmed Rajiv, Dhaka-based political analyst and founder of GPilot.com. Following in our program, we have Farewell to Emailgate, Welcome to the Oval Office. Stay with us.